It's a new year, and the Pinstripe Talk podcast is back on the air. Boy, do we have a lot of catching up to do. Without further ado, let's get this thing started. The new episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered by Overtime Media.
Live from the Vivid Seats studio in Garfield, New Jersey, this is another episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered by Overtime Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. On behalf of the Pinstripe Talk podcast team, we would like to wish you a very happy new year. We hope that 2020 brings a lot of joy and happiness to you and your families, and also brings another World Series title back to the Bronx where it belongs. We have a lot to talk about today. The show is basically going to focus around the Houston Astros scandal that is basically the topic of discussion around sports and really is dominating the headlines. We're going to talk about the penalties that have been given to the Astros for what Major League Baseball investigated and found them guilty of. We'll take a look at the ramifications, how it affects other teams as well, and we'll also discuss how the Yankees come into play in all this in this discussion as well. Also, Yankees have a couple of minor moves that they have made since our last show, and we'll break those down. One of the less minor moves, I would say, is that they have revamped their training and medical staff, and we'll talk about that and why that was so important for this team moving forward. As always, we like to promote our show. Follow us on Twitter at Pinstripe Talk ND. You can follow my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. Like us on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Our podcast, available on all streaming devices. Go to Apple Podcasts, subscribe, rate, and review the show on there. Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, Pocket Cast, Breaker, Stitcher, and of course, Overtime Media. You can find our show on many different platforms. And of course, it's always nice to brag a little bit as well. We would like to announce that FeedSpot, a website online, they do a good job of ranking podcasts on the web. They have ranked us as one of the top 20 Yankee podcasts currently on the web. So we'd like to thank them for giving us the consideration and putting us in their top 20. We appreciate that they realize the hard work and effort that we have put into the show. And we hope that we continue to move up the rankings as time goes on. Right now, we're 16. And there's no reason why, with your support for the show and our hard work and dedication, that together we can't move up and even be better than we were in 2019. 2019 was a great year for the show. We got a lot accomplished. We had a lot of good things in store. 2020 is going to be even bigger. We talked about Delahanty Media and how we're going to be starting another podcast in a couple of weeks alongside my cousin Kyle Delahanty, and we're excited for that. We're planning that. But again, it takes time to plan these things, and we hope that you continue to follow us as we grow as a company and we grow as a brand. Join along on the ride right now while you can. It's going to be a great ride. We have a lot of hope for the upcoming year. Now let's get right into the Houston Astros issues that have gone on. And if you remember, in November, Mike Fiers, who used to play for the Astros, admitted in an article with Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic that the Astros have or did engage in sign-stealing methods that were against Major League Baseball rules. And over time, more and more came out in regards to this, and you got to give credit to John Boy Media. They did a great job of finding video evidence that kind of linked to what was being said around the game, and Major League Baseball found them guilty and put these penalties against the organization, starting with the suspension of, at the time, Jeff Luhnow, who was the GM, and A.J. Hinch for a year. So these are big suspensions for them, and they really came down on those two individuals hard, as those two were basically in charge of the organization at the time of the findings. Also, they had to forfeit their 2020 and 2021 first and second round picks and were fined $5 million for these allegations that were found to be true. And in case you are wondering, they will keep the compensation pick that they'll receive for the Yankees signing Gerrit Cole. That pick will be number 72 overall in the upcoming draft. Now, the Astros quickly reacted to this and relieved Luhnow and Hinch of their duties with the team. So they realized that those were the two in charge. They had to make a change. And even though they were suspended and baseball came down with the penalties, the Astros took it a step further. This led to the Red Sox and Alex Cora parting ways. And then without even managing a game for the New York Mets, Carlos Beltran was basically relieved of his duties with the Mets. He stepped down. So this had a trickling effect because if you remember, Cora was with the Astros and so was Beltran at the time that this was all going on. And there's a lot of speculation about what went on. You had the trash can incident. You had the monitors. Many different ways that sign stealing was against the way that Major League Baseball allowed teams to operate using equipment and technology. And now, if you go on Twitter, there's more and more coming out in regards to things that are being founded. If you look at the Jose Altuve clip where he's holding on his shirt, where he's telling his teammates, "Don't rip off my shirt. Don't rip off my shirt." Now there's belief, based off a Twitter account that we still have no idea who's running, that Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve were wearing little devices that buzzed to tell them what kind of pitch was coming. This is a bad thing for baseball overall. And we've had our share of scandals. Don't get me wrong. Baseball is definitely hasn't been the cleanest game. Go back a couple of years to the steroid era. It feels like a couple of years, but it's really a little bit in the past. You look at 1918. You have those issues that came along. Pete Rose, one of the best hitters this game has ever seen. He's banned for life. Did they come down too easily on the Houston Astros? Was this just a slap on the wrist? Or does more investigation need to happen? And I get the whole Players Association thing with regards to investigating specific players involved. But if this buzzing thing was an issue and was prominent during this time, more penalties have to be assessed, including strict penalties against Bregman and Altuve and whoever else was caught. You mean to tell me that Altuve didn't know what was coming when he hit the home run off of Chapman in the playoffs? Chapman's reaction with him smiling on the mound, did he know that there was cheating going on? Yeah, multiple players saying, yeah, you know what? We saw this or we heard that. And have come out and spoke publicly about what's going on. You know, this is just a bad look for the game overall. And you don't want it to be a situation where baseball takes it lightly, gives a little bit of a penalty, and then overall, it doesn't change because teams are like, well, you know, that really didn't hurt them. You know, maybe we should try it. Maybe it would help us. Now it really questions what the Astros did over the past couple of years and how legitimate their World Series runs are. You know, hitting a baseball is one of the hardest things to do in sports. And I'm sure that players will tell you it's not an easy thing, especially when you have guys like Chapman or even a Gerrit Cole who can fool you at any given time. But when you know what's coming, you can sit on that, and that changes the whole aspect of the game. And yes, I am not oblivious to the truth. Sign stealing in the game is relevant. Guys do it all the time. But I'm a believer that if you do it on the field and you're able to see a pitcher maybe fidget his glove to tell you he's throwing a curveball or doesn't lift his leg high enough to indicate that a different pitch is coming, those are the kind of advantages that made baseball players smarter and gave them a little bit of an edge without bringing technology into it. By adding technology and by adding these things that we are well documented in the report, it's kind of giving it a video game feel, like a guess pitch type of thing in MLB The Show, for those of you who play MLB. It's just crazy to think that these teams went to these resorts to find ways to win games, and all those people in the clubhouse just stood by and were okay with it. Mike Fiers, I give him a lot of credit for coming out and saying publicly what went on. I'm sure that you've had situations where guys were peer pressured into not saying things that didn't agree with it. I'm sure of it. But at the end of the day, nobody said anything. Nobody had the courage at the time to stand up and say, you know what, look, this is what's going on. I'm not happy about it. And this needs to change. So there is definitely a dark cloud among the game. And now you have three teams with a couple of weeks left before spring training, all looking for managers. And if you look at the teams, and if you would have told me 6 months ago that these three teams would have job openings, the Astros would be the most enticing of them all. If you look at their roster they have and the personnel they have and the success they've had, that's a no-brainer for me. And the Red Sox are a close second. You know, they had a bad year last year. I don't think they lived up to their potential. I think they're a much better team than that indicated. But those are two good teams that could be relevant in the American League at any given time. And then you look at the Mets. You know, that's an enticing job too. You get a Cy Young Award winner in DeGrom. You get a face of the franchise type of player in Pete Alonso. They have some solid pieces around Alonso that they could build upon. You bring in a guy like Dellin Betances to beef up your bullpen. You mean to tell me the Mets can't compete for a wild card this year? Honestly, three jobs that are pretty enticing for a candidate, and the one that in the past you would have said was the best job to take is probably the worst, because you're going to have to do damage control in Houston to the point where the microscope is going to be on you all season long, and you're not going to get around it. And you're going to have players who are going to have vendettas that are going to be upset about it. Look at that Yankees team in 2017, or heck, even in 2019. You know, you don't think they're upset that this Houston team beat them out to go to the World Series? That these Astros that are holding up a World Series championship cheated their way to a World Series? If I was in that locker room, in that clubhouse, I'd be upset about it. Or any other team. Look at the Dodgers. You could put them in that same boat. This is very bad for baseball, and Houston's going to have to find that guy who can kind of calm the storm. I think Buck Showalter might be that guy. You know, he did manage the Yankees when Steinbrenner was suspended. He is no stranger to the game. He is no stranger to adversity. He might be a guy that, as a temporary fix, might be the best option for Houston. As for the other two jobs, I really couldn't tell you. I think that with a new GM in Boston, I think they're going to have their own collective search. And the Mets, too, I think they're going to take the notes and the information they got from the first managerial search that they had this offseason and try to regroup and find the guy who's best fitting to lead the team in the right direction. I'm glad baseball stepped in. I'm glad that there's resolution to this, but I still think that there's more sorting out to do. And if more comes out in regards to wearing buzzers and other tips that can help players get an advantage that isn't within Major League Baseball rules, I think Major League Baseball is going to have to find a way to work with the Players Association to make sure that this doesn't become a trending issue that hurts the game even more so. Because now the microscope's on the game, and you know that there are going to be eyes everywhere making sure that teams are doing the right thing. They're going to try to avoid this. But now let's see what steps Major League Baseball takes moving forward to make sure this situation never happens again. I can't say it enough. This is a bad situation. And there's been a lot of commentary on it. And I could have easily done a show earlier and kind of broke it down for you and talked about it and discussed what I thought about it. But I needed time to digest it too. I needed time to think about the penalties that were assessed. Yes, they're pretty hefty in terms of the organization. Losing your first and second round picks does hurt, but I still think that there is room to rectify the situation even more so, and that includes going into investigations and finding ways to make sure that buzzing wasn't involved. Because if there is visible proof and there is more information that does get leaked, Major League Baseball is going to have even more of a messy situation. And let's face it, this is messy now. Let's try to beat the storm before the storm crushes the game. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to get into Yankees talk. We're only a couple weeks away from spring training. Thank goodness we're at that point. Yankees baseball is almost back in our lives. The Yankees have made a couple of small moves over the past couple of weeks. We'll break them down and more on this episode of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered by Overtime Media. Stay tuned. We're back on the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered by Overtime Media. If you haven't done so already, follow us on Twitter at Pinstripe Talk ND. Follow my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. Send us your thoughts. Send us your Yankee vibes. Anything you want to talk about. We look forward to discussing it with you. Let's get into some Yankees news after we spent the first half of the show talking about the Houston Astros. The big news since we've last talked is that the Yankees have officially re-signed outfielder Brett Gardner on a one-year deal worth about $12.5 million. This deal includes a $20 million option for the 2021 season. With all the shakeups with the Yankees roster, with CC Sabathia retiring, Didi Gregorius going to Philly, there's been a little bit of turmoil in terms of veteran leadership in the Yankees clubhouse, but Gardner continues to serve as the longest tenured Yankee, and he'll go into his 13th year with the team. Hit a career-high 28 home runs last year, so the 36-year-old is still producing with Aaron Hicks out to begin the 2020 season. Expect Gardner to be the everyday center fielder and then fill in center field and left field once the team gets a little bit healthier. Overall, I think it's a good move. I think it's a smart move for the Yankees. Bringing Gardner back into the mix, it's obvious he wants to spend his whole career in the Bronx. He definitely deserves a chance to come back this year. He was nothing but great last year. And of course, everybody's power numbers went up, considering the whole baseball scandal with the baseballs being different. But Gardner's still a high-quality guy in the clubhouse, a great veteran leader, and it just makes a whole lot of sense to bring Gardner back into the mix. Speaking of older guys on the team, CC Sabathia will take on a role as an advisor with the club. It's not surprising, given that Sabathia has talked about working within the game after his career was over. I don't think that he ever sees himself as a manager, maybe down the road, but as a team advisor, the Yankees seem to take care of their guys. You've seen guys like Paul O'Neill and Reggie Jackson, Yogi Berra. You've had a lot of guys work within the team to help out and still provide that leadership and keep some of the, as I like to call them, idols around the clubhouse. I think it's great. I think Sabathia is going to thrive in that role. He's well-liked among the clubhouse, well-liked among the organization. I expect the Yankees to utilize his skill sets in many different ways. And if you listen to R2C2, which is one of the best podcasts out there, Sabathia has said he doesn't want a Monday to Friday job where he has to report to the boss every day. He wants something that is a little bit more free in terms of scheduling and something that he can work around his family. His kids are getting older. He likes to spend time with his wife. They're very involved within their charity. So this is a perfect fit for Sabathia, and I think that he'll be a great addition to the Yankees front office in that role and could continue to provide that leadership that was so valuable over his time in the Bronx as a player. In addition to the two moves that we already discussed, the Yankees have agreed to a minor league contract with veteran backstop Chris Iannetta. The 36-year-old will provide some competition in camp for the Yankees' backup catcher role. It looks like Kyle Higashioka is going to be the backup catcher at the big league level. Remember, he's out of minor league options, so it's likely he'll be with the big league club. But Iannetta provides some insurance in case something goes down and will give some competition come spring training. In 14 big league seasons, Iannetta's played in 1,197 games, has 141 homers, 502 RBIs, 230 batting average, basically a backup catcher, but he'll give some depth for the Yankees, especially given that you had Austin Romine leave to go to the Detroit Tigers. The Yankees also made another move to clear off a 40-man roster space. They traded left-handed pitcher Stephen Tarpley to the Miami Marlins. They received back third baseman James Nelson. Tarpley appeared in 21 games for the Yankees last season, was designated for assignment when, again, the Yankees signed Gardner. He made appearances in two big league seasons in the Bronx, had a 5.88 ERA. He did show signs of being a good left-handed reliever, but for the most part did struggle. he has good stuff, but I think he needs more of a consistent chance. And that was a chance that he really didn't get in the Bronx. He was up and down for most of the last parts of each of the last two seasons. And then you look at James Nelson, who they got back in the trade, a 22-year-old third baseman, never got higher than single A so far. Really hasn't hit much. 228 last season in 121 games. He was a 15th round pick in 2016. So he's a guy that's off the 40-man roster, a guy that the Yankees may be able to develop. They maybe saw something in him that the Marlins were unable to crack. So a minor move to clear off the 40-man roster space, but Tarpley gets a fresh start with Derek Jeter and the Miami Marlins. Since our last show, there have also been two big announcements regarding the New York Yankees. Number one, this one's an off-the-field issue. Domingo Herman's suspension was finally announced, and Major League Baseball announced that the right-handed pitcher would be suspended for 81 games, which would account to 63 in 2020, given the fact that he already started the suspension at the end of last year. And again, the 27-year-old was charged with domestic violence, and he sat out at the end of last year. He had won 18 games before this all happened. He's eligible to return on June 5th. That's barring any rainouts, given the Yankees' 64th game is scheduled for that day. It's still unknown as to what's going to happen with Herman. Hopefully, he's getting the help that he needs. This is bigger than baseball. And we've talked about it on previous shows. This is something that shouldn't be joked about or taken lightly. This is something that is very serious. Although there are no criminal charges that have been filed, this is still something that puts a black eye on Herman. And if he does need the necessary help, I'm sure that the Yankees are looking for ways to help him in any way that they possibly can. But good job by baseball to step down and provide this suspension. We've seen it before. Certain guys have gone down with domestic violence suspensions. But it'll be interesting to see whether or not Herman makes an impact in the Bronx this year and what route the Yankees do take with him. Because, let's face it, at points last year, he was the Yankees' best arm. He dominated for most of the year. You mean to tell me that if he comes back and he figures himself out off the field, he can't be the Yankees' fifth starter and continue to pitch at a high level and help this team to the World Series? It'd be a nice acquisition to get him back, and I'm sure the Yankees aren't giving up on him, but I'm sure there are other hurdles before he takes the field again for the Yankees that need to be addressed. Domestic violence is no joke, as I've said before. And to see that hopefully we're getting a resolution to this is definitely assuring. And I wish the best for Domingo. I hope that he figures it out, and that I hope that we do get to see him pitch at Yankee Stadium again. Because I do think he'll deserve a second chance. Guys have gone on to get a second chance. I think that with the right situation, he could become a better man out of this. And hopefully he chooses that route and takes the help that he's getting to ultimately get to where he needs to be before we get him back on the field. The other final big announcement that the Yankees have made, and this just came a couple of days ago, they have restructured their player health and performance staff. Now, it will be led by Director of Player Health and Performance, Eric Cressy. And Steve Donahue stays with the team. He'll be the Director of Medical Services. But the Yankees have revamped their entire health and performance staff. And after last year, this is definitely not a surprise. The Yankees could not stay healthy. It was absolutely horrible. Horrible. I couldn't even imagine how many injuries they had to deal with. And just when you thought they were getting healthy, somebody else went down. So hopefully, this new staff finds ways to keep these guys on the field. Because if this team is healthy, they're a World Series contender. We all know that. But they have to stay healthy. And that's going to be hard. You know, baseball's a grind. 162 games, you're going to have guys go down with injuries. It's a matter of fact. But the way the Yankees were hampered by injuries last year, you'd have to think and you have to hope that it can only get better from here. So maybe this revamping will help them and will help them go in the right direction, because that was very tough. And I'm sure it wasn't easy on the organization trying to find guys who could mix and match and fill the void as they tried to make up for the fact that their key guys were on the mend. Look at the offense. Gary Sanchez, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Hicks. Look at all these guys that missed time due to injury. Miguel Andujar missed the majority of the season. And, of course, it's not fully on the staff to blame. But when you're in a franchise like this, a lot of the blame is going to go on the guys who train these players on an everyday basis. So this is a good thing for the Yankees, and hopefully this leads us in the right direction and keeps the Yankees healthy and happy, because if they're healthy, this team has the possibility and the potential to win a lot of games in 2020. So, now that we're back on the air and we've covered some of the most important topics, not only within the Yankees organization, but throughout Major League Baseball, where does that leave us going forward? For starters, let's look at the bright side. Spring training's only a couple of weeks away. We're only a couple of weeks from seeing the Yankees in live action down in Florida. And that's always a great thing, to hear spring training's on its way. A lot of hype and excitement around this team moving forward. You know, Gerrit Cole, how could you not name him? There's a lot of things that are going to look good for this team. It's basically the same team with Cole. And after a year where you won 103 games, you only have to think that, number one, this team is going to even get better. And number two, with everything else going on in the game, is there a team in this league that has the firepower to keep up with the Yankees? And time will tell. You know, you could be the best team on paper and not win anything. So, again, potential only weighs so much. But over the next couple of weeks, we're going to see new managers named for the Astros, the Red Sox, the Mets. You have to assume that they'll all be done before spring training. You can't go into spring training without a head honcho. So that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, because that has ramifications on the Yankees' season. You know, these hires, although they're just a manager and they can only do so much, are going to make a big, drastic change into what these organizations do. Do they pick the right guy for the job? Do these guys end up leading these teams to and past their potential? Time will only tell. And right now we have a lot of ifs, and there's a lot of question marks. But there's going to be a lot of baseball talk over the upcoming weeks. And if you're Brian Cashman, you're sitting back and you're saying to yourself, my roster's basically set. Maybe I can make a move or two here, maybe a minor move to bring in guys to compete in spring training. But for the most part, I'm just trying to figure out who's going to fill out my 26-man roster. The majority of the pieces are there. And God willing, if they're healthy, they'll be there on opening day. It's just a matter of how they shape up the rest of the roster and bring up the final couple of spots. So it's an exciting time to be a Yankee fan. And right now, baseball's in a little bit of a disarray. But it's going to get better, because it's America's pastime. We always thrive through it. And next week, Major League Baseball will announce its Hall of Fame. And for certain, the captain, Derek Jeter, will rightfully be enshrined into Cooperstown to join the greats of the game. Who joins him? Who knows? Maybe Larry Walker, a guy who spent his career in Colorado and had really good numbers in Coors Field and doesn't get a lot of respect that he deserves, and especially given it's his last time on the ballot. Does he join him? Does Curt Schilling, a guy who was a very good pitcher during his time, really didn't make a lot of friends outside of the game after his time, but you have to really look at his numbers and you're not really crediting him for his being off the field. You're looking at his baseball life. Do the guys in the steroid era get in? Clemens and Bonds look like they're behind, but do they make a final push to get in? Does the projection go up and they get closer to the number that you need to get in than they did last year? And again, time will only tell these things. But one thing is for certain. Number two is getting in. We're just waiting for the announcement. Does he get in 100%? Who knows with these writers? I'm sure somebody will try to pull some defensive metric garbage and not give him a rightful 100% that he deserves. Whether you like him or not. Whether you think he was a good shortstop or not. The guy's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Look at the numbers. whose resume can match him? Give me that. I'll give you some time to think about it, because I can't think about it. Numerous World Series rings. 3,000 hits. Was the captain of the Yankees. Was one of the best shortstops in the game throughout his career. A local icon in the Bronx. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. And in my eyes, watching his career for the entirety of it, growing up wearing my number two jersey for my entire life, seeing him firsthand, he's 100% a Hall of Famer. And whether you guys, the writers, voted in 100% or not, that doesn't change anything to me. The captain's going where he belongs, among the rest of the greats that this game has ever offered. Final thoughts for today's show. If you caught it last week, the YES Network does their Hot Stove show every year at Yogi Berra Museum in Montclair. It is one of the best nights of the year. If you can go next year, I suggest it. I'll definitely be going. This year, there was a special guest, and I got to meet John Sterling, the Yankees radio play-by-play voice. And let me tell you, it was truly a highlight of my sports career, meeting such an icon in Sterling. I've met Bob Lorenz and John Flaherty, who is also a St. Joe's grad like myself, Meredith Marakovitz, and Jack Curry. I've met those guys before and girls, but meeting Sterling and getting the opportunity to speak to him and listen to his stories in person was truly a night that I'll never forget. And if you get the chance, I would definitely take the opportunity to talk to him or just listen to Yankees broadcast on the radio. Because Sterling is getting up there in age. Who knows how long he's actually going to do it? Enjoy the legend while you can. Because, let me tell you, that was definitely a night that I'll never, ever forget. That's going to wrap up our show for this week. Once again, we wish you all a happy new year. We are so excited for 2020. We're ready to kick butt in 2020 and bring you some great content, both through our show and Delahanty Media. The Let's Debate podcast coming very, very soon to a podcasting platform near you. Again, follow us on Twitter at Pinstripe Talk ND. Follow my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. Like us up on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Apple Podcast. Find us on Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, Breaker, Stitcher. You name it, our show is there for you. Also, once again, a shout out. We were named one of the top 20 podcasts for Yankees baseball. Special shout out to FeedSpot for acknowledging our podcast. If you haven't seen the rankings and want to listen to other great Yankee podcasts, we'll post a link on our social media feeds for you guys to check out. Once again, FeedSpot, we are number 16 in the top 20 in Yankee podcast. We need your help to go up the rankings. Our goal is to get to number one. So on that positive note, we're going to end today's show. Once again, this is the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered by Overtime Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. As always, let's go Yankees. Get those pinstripes ready, because the season's just around the corner. We'll catch you next time.